Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to the show. I hope that wherever you are listening in the country, that you are safe, you are warm from all of these wild winter storms that are going across the country. I'm telling you, I told you yesterday, this Texas girl just can't handle that kind of cold. So I hope and pray, really do pray, that you're all safe and warm wherever you are, and that we get some relief from this severe winter weather soon. I want to talk to you today and kind of do a recap, because I don't know about you, but after getting back from the holidays and then having this disruption from the storms, it feels like I'm having a hard time getting some momentum. I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that there are probably those of you out there listening that are saying, yes, I just can't get it together, and that is me. So I want to recap what we've been talking about so far on the program and make sure that you are fully aware of and feel welcome in your invitation to join us for a year-long journey. Now, when I first came back from the holidays, I invited you all to join me in my one New Year's resolution that I'm taking this year, and that is to intentionally invest in your parenting journey. Now, this is great because I'm not asking you to go to the gym or to eat healthy or any of those other things, and I'm not even setting any specific parameters around this. I'm just saying, to the best that you can you make a decision to intentionally invest in your parenting journey this year? That's what we want to see. I do believe that God blesses little efforts in a very mighty way. And I think if you start this now, here in January of 2024, when you go a year from now, you may be amazed to see how far you've gone. And I want to go and talk to you a little bit about the science of why I'm asking you to do this, and the science of investing in this relationship. Because, you know, I think a lot of times as parents, we can feel like failures. And when I talk to parents, I can't tell you how many times I will just be having a conversation about the weather or about dinner or something that seems really benign. And then all of a sudden, this shadow comes across their face, tears will fill their eyes, and they'll ask me that question that's burning on their heart. And really, that secret question that I think a lot of parents are wondering is, am I messing up my kids for life? Like, am I a good parent or am I not? Because our confidence can be shaken so easily as parents. I don't know about you, but I have a great relationship with my kids. They are not standing in the corner of my house giving me a commentary and saying, hey, good job, Mom. I saw you staying up late to do all the laundry. And hey, that discipline that you just delivered to me was spot on. It was really good. No one is giving me that kind of feedback. And I think especially today, it starts to get in our heads and we start to try to appease our kids instead of leading them. And I used to be that parent where I would wonder 100% all day, every day, and if I'm honest, many sleepless nights, am I messing up my kids for life? Did I do the right thing? Did I say the right thing? Did I buy the right thing? Did I go the right place? Did I meet the right people? Did I choose the right school? Did I give the right discipline? Did I cook the right meal? Did I show up to pick up my kids in the right clothes that they told me to wear when I went to pick them up? And if I'm honest, that was exhausting. And no matter how hard I tried, I never felt any better about it. Honestly, my biggest fear in life was that my kids would grow up to hate me, we would be estranged, and they would lose their faith. And I had some context for this because I had conflict with my parents that led to estrangement. And I thought, this cycle is just going to repeat itself. But God helped me and met me where I was, and I found a new way forward in a new mindset with a new skill set. And I no longer tried to do the right thing. I learned to be the right person that my kids needed in that moment. And you know what? I could take assurance in knowing that God had already handpicked me to be exactly right that right mama for the baby that he specifically gave to me. And parents, I want you to know, our kids are amazingly resilient. They are grace-filled, and they do long for a connection with us, even when that connection seems tenuous, even when it seems like they don't want it. They do. So if you're feeling discouraged, I want you to take assurance in just being there, physically and emotionally present in your child's life. I want you to take comfort in the fact that you care, and that means a lot. If you're sitting here listening to this program, I know that you care. That tells me you're a caring parent. And that means so much more than we give ourselves credit for. We cannot fix every problem. We cannot prevent every hurt. We cannot handle every situation perfectly. But we can give ourselves grace. We can try again. We can learn. We can grow. And the bottom line is that our kids don't need a perfect parent. And the truth is, no such parent exists. They need a present parent who is invested in nurturing healthy relationships that will stand the test of time, that will be able to navigate any problems that most assuredly will come our way. In the Bible, it says, in this world, we will have trouble. But we can take heart because we know that Christ has already overcome the world. Now, let me get back to the science here and tell you what will happen if you intentionally invest in a living legacy for your family by building healthy relationships. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a parent to be, if you're a parent of littles, if you're a parent of olders, or if you're a parent of grown kids, wherever you are, this is a journey for you. And the goal of this journey is not to make you a content expert so that you know about all of the threats that are facing families today, or to make you a process expert that you know all of these psychological tips and tricks and tools that you can use. The goal is to make you an expert in your child and to know how to build a relationship with them. And we're not going to feverishly study health issues and attempt to connect, but we'll study our kids with the intent to lead that connection. It's a really important paradigm shift, and it's a really important mindset shift. We want to feel confident in leading with courage and with empathy. Now, what we know is actually when I graduated from my nurse practitioner school, the human genome had not even been fully mapped. I know that makes me feel like I'm already a dinosaur, but that's the truth. And even before that, right before that, during this time in 1997, actually, there were two researchers named Vincent Felitti and Robert Anda from Kaiser Permanente Health. Now, you may have heard me talk about this before, but it's important to what we're doing here in our journey. They published a landmark study on what they called adverse childhood experiences. Now, we call them ACEs. And they connected childhood trauma to adult health outcomes. Now, some of these ACEs that they categorized included things like abuse and neglect and mental illness and relatives who were incarcerated or experiencing divorce, witnessing violence in your home, having a life-threatening injury or an accident, being lost or separated from a parent or loved one. And other ACEs that we look at today can include things like natural disasters or wars or terrorist attacks or school shootings, discrimination, refugee status, extreme poverty, all of these things. And it's sobering if we look at what is facing our kids today. And when we experience trauma, it activates our stress response. So imagine you're in the woods and you see a bear. Most people, except my husband would be delighted, but most people are going to be frightened when you see a bear and you feel your heart racing and your adrenaline pumping. And that's a good natural response. And it tells you either to fight or to flight, to stay and fight or to run. Now, when people experience trauma, what happens is the analogy that's been given by Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris, whose work is primarily in researching ACEs, is that you take that bear home with you, and it can pop out at any time. And so you're constantly having that stress activation, and it's bathing your brain in a toxic sludge of stress chemicals. And it does some really interesting things. When you have surging epinephrine, when you have surging cortisol, it dysregulates your hormones and your organ systems. It damages your blood vessels and it damages your neurological regulation. Now, the ACE study discovered that adults with a score of more than four ACEs, if they had experienced more than four adverse childhood experiences in their life, then they experienced the things like heart disease, obesity, cancer, many times greater than the population who had not experienced ACEs. In fact, 9 of the 10 leading causes of death are correlated to high ACE scores. And that trauma causes DNA changes. It literally changes the way that your DNA is read and transcribed. Now, that can be scary, but the good news is that even though we can pass on those dysregulated changes to further generations, resilience can change that DNA, and we can pass that resilience on from generation to generation. Now, I'm speaking very simply here. That's a really simple explanation, but it's pretty amazing to know what our bodies can do. Now, here's the most encouraging part. When we look at regular stress versus toxic stress, which can cause some of those changes I was talking about, the difference is having supportive factors in your life. The difference is a meaningful connection to an invested adult. So when we see our kids and they are stressed, they are hurt, they are traumatized, we may not be able to fix that situation, but we can put our arm around them and sit beside them and share their grief. We can tell them we love them. We can tell them we're here for them. We can sing their favorite song or do just those simple comfort measures. And you know what that does to that toxic stream of stress chemicals in your brain? It shuts the faucet off and it makes that our kids resilient in that time. Now, that is why I'm asking you to go on this journey with me this year and to adopt what I'm calling 52 habits for healthy parenting. Now, these are just habits that we're going to try to incorporate into our lives throughout the year. There is no formal benchmark, there is no scorecard, there is only encouragement and grace when you fall down. So, I want to recap those and then in a little bit, I'm going to tell you the third one that we have. We have two so far. The first one that we focused on was prayer. Prayer is so important, and the research-backed health benefits of prayer are that it reduces feelings of isolation, fear, and anxiety. It reduces anger and aggression. It makes it easier to offer forgiveness. It counteracts the flight or fright stage. It improves emotional regulation, and it accelerates recovery from trauma or surgery, and it actually increases your lifespan. So I've asked you to just make prayer a part of your life. I'm keeping a prayer journal. I'm trying to write in it at least once a week, and I have done that so far for the 3 little weeks that we have started this journey. Some other ideas, though, would be to designate a specific space in your home or to create a prayer photo album for your kids. Pray before meals, pray before bed, pray on the spot when someone asks for prayer. And one thing that I've been doing is sending my kids voice memo prayers, just praying for them right away. When we come back, I'll remind you about memorizing scripture, and we're going to talk to Alex McFarland, right, who is AFR's own, about the third habit, and that is getting plugged in to a local church. You don't want to miss it. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to the show. You are listening to me encourage you to jump in on my New Year's resolution. I would love to have you join me in my one-year journey of pursuing 52 habits for healthy parenting. These are things that are so important, and I know that there are a lot of people asking me, as a nurse practitioner, why are you talking about things like prayer and scripture memory and church attendance? Well, that's because I know that research supports the health benefits of this. So we will be debuting one new healthy habit every week this year. We've talked about the power of prayer already. The second one is scripture memory. I have already memorized 3 verses this year. My kids are holding me accountable on that. They are asking me all the time, did you memorize your verse yet, Mom? I think they think I might not stick with it. So that's giving me some motivation that I have got to stick with it. But scripture memory improves our emotional regulation. It increases our resilience to stress. It makes our vocabulary generally more positive, and it makes us more enjoyable to be around. It enhances our social connections. It strengthens our cognitive function and repairs our memory. It broadens our perspective. It enhances our empathy. It makes our speech more confident, and it decreases our fear. So you can follow along on my Instagram or my Facebook. You can find me at Dr. Nurse Mama, and I'm sharing those scriptures that I am learning and sharing my prayer journaling experience with you. And we are talking about habit number 3, which is plugging into a local church. Now, I know ever since COVID, that kind of disrupted family's church attendance habits. And maybe that's you. Maybe it's just a little bit different since COVID. Maybe you had a disruption in that, or maybe there's other reasons that have been keeping you from engaging in a local church. Well, I am really delighted to welcome back Alex McFarland. You know him well from Exploring the Word and from all of the other services that he provides. And he is going to come on and talk to us about what to look for in a church. Alex, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, Dr. Peck, thank you for having me. I really love the Dr. Nurse Mama show, and I know millions of listeners do as well. So it's a great honor to be on.
Well, it is an honor to have your expertise as I listen to Exploring the Word and you answer tough questions. And this is a tough question, Alex. What do we look for in a church? Because we know that there is no perfect church, and that there are people who maybe have even experienced hurt, and that has prevented them from going back to the church. So I think that it's really important to share your wisdom. What would you share with families who are in that process of looking for a church?
Well, great question. And, you know, thank you for devoting airtime to this wonderful topic, because, you know, if a person is a believer, I think scripturally they are to be a part of a local church, and the church is a group of believers who are together for worship and growth and service, and really to, you know, individually and collectively participate in the Great Commission. But the number one characteristic has got to be Scripture, the Word of God, because, you know, Christianity, the gospel, the church is based on Jesus, the Son of God, and we learn about Jesus, we grow in Jesus. I think the Spirit of the Lord works in our life as we build our life on the Word of God. So a biblical worldview, which is so needed, my goodness, so needed for a lot of reasons, but we get our beliefs, our priorities, our worldview from God's Word. So the first criteria for a church that we would invest ourselves in would be that they are centered around the Bible.
You know, I adopted this practice with my kids. My husband and I did. When we go to travel, we will have them look for a local church that we can visit, because we attended the same church pretty much their whole childhood. And I wanted them to know that the church was bigger than our church that we were attending in our local community. And it was really great because we got to experience a lot of different kinds of churches, but that was the thing that they would look for. We would send them to the website, and then we would have them start looking at theology and doctrine, and does this church align with what we believe? And even when they were young, it was a great exercise for them to come back and then share their findings with the family. And then the second criteria that you have on this resource that you have on your website, Alex, is worship, corporate worship. And so I feel like when we walk in, there is just something beautiful about, you know, I can stand next to an 80-something-year-old great-grandmother. I can stand next to a young person who is a teenager, and to see them all with the same attitude and heart posture, there is something just very encouraging about that, don't you think?
Oh, I agree. My wife Angie and I, as we travel, you know, very often I'm speaking somewhere, but a lot of times we're on the road, and we always find somewhere to go to church on Sunday, and it really is such a blessing to be with the people of God. You know, we've had many experiences throughout America and internationally. You know, I've got to tell you this. One time we were going through Chicago on a Sunday morning, and it's about like 7:30 in the morning, and so we stopped at a park. There's a very large park in downtown Chicago. And we just got out, my wife and myself and the couple that was with us, and we bowed our heads and we had prayer. Well, we opened our eyes, and there was a pastor there. He was out for a walk, and he said, "Hey, I just saw you guys having prayer. I pastor an inner city church. Would you want to come to our church?" And we were like, "Yeah, exactly." Well, you know, 20 minutes later, we're in this wonderful storefront church in downtown Chicago. You've never heard such great singing. I mean, we met with the Lord in a powerful way that day with believers that were very different from us in some ways, but we had Jesus in common. So worship is just one of the great experiences of the Christian faith. And, you know, like we said, the Bible, worship, and I think missions and prayer are very important that... you know, it's like a flowing stream. If the stream is dammed up or the water can't move, it can get stagnant. And one of the beautiful things about the Christian life and health, you know, individually and corporately, is that we take in, but we give out. And, you know, it's been my privilege to speak in like 2,000 American churches. And the healthiest churches are the ones that are engaged in service. And people of all ages... or have an opportunity to reach out. And I think that's a wonderful ethic to impart to kids from a young age, is that as a Christian, I'm a witness for Jesus. And very often that's giving a cup of cold water in his name. So I love to see a church. I think the healthiest ones are that understand part of their mission in their community and beyond is to do outreach.
Those are such great words of advice. And the next thing that you have on this great resource that, again, I got from your website, and I'd love for you to tell the listeners how to get this too, but you talk about leadership. You say, look for leaders that are competent and held accountable for their decisions that should be in place. And when we're looking at this, I think that one of the other things that you say that I think is important is sometimes, you know, we can experience conflict with church leadership, and you encourage people before leaving, instead of doing church hopping, is what I think of from what my grandmother would used to say. She'd say, "We don't church hop. We're not doing that." That to consider being a part of the solution. So, what does that look like in looking at the leadership? What are characteristics of good church leaders, Alex?
Well, a great question. And you know, let me just say, there's an old saying that consistency validates authenticity. That, you know, you can't completely accurately evaluate someone's character, you know, just in one meeting, but you want to sit under leadership and teaching and teachers that are authentic and real and they live what they preach, you know? And I think, like the saying, consistency will demonstrate this. So you want a leader that is not duplicitous. You know, they're the same in private as they are in public. They, not, you know, the old saying, physician, heal thyself. They administer the word, but they themselves live by the word. And there's another big thing. I think this is so important in the Lord's work. And, you know, when I was a pastor, of course, we were diligent to pursue this. And now, you know, being a part of AFR, and then running a nonprofit that we do, there has to be accountability. I get nervous, Doctor, when the senior pastor makes unilateral decisions by themselves, you know. And so godly leadership is competent, accountable, and there's transparency. And that we do what we say we're going to do. And that's why it's such a beautiful thing. You know, the New Testament talks about the body of Christ and there are hands and feet, and we all need each other. Somebody over here has the gift of administration. Somebody over here has service or teaching or a gift of faith or a gift of you know, intercession. And so we need to employ the full body of Christ. And I like to see churches that have different programs for discovering your spiritual gift and leadership training. I get a little nervous when the leadership is a little too inbred. And let me just say, and I've done a lot of consulting for a lot of churches, I think there needs to be rotation, you know, whether it be elders or deacons or committees. And I'm just being very pragmatic here, perhaps, but you don't want certain committees or leadership just held in the hands of one small group for long, long periods of time. I really think there needs to be continual identifying of leaders, developing of leaders, and then rotation so that ultimately the church is led by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit as He works through people that are honest, transparent, and yielded to God and have no agenda of their own.
Well, you know, that brings up a question in my mind, because we've been talking about people who maybe are not engaged in a church and what they should look for. But Alex, let's flip the narrative real quick and talk to the people who are engaged in a church and what they can do to make it easier for new people to come in. Just like you said, there are new people who will be joining and they may feel like they are never going to get asked to be on a committee ever, or maybe their gifts are just not needed because we already have somebody who does that. And I think, you know, I look back to my family's experience in visiting a church. The other benefit that had is to remind us what it feels like to be a visitor versus what it feels like to be home in your home church. So what would you say to church leaders or longtime church members to lift their eyes to that perspective, to have that open and welcoming posture?
Great, great question. Let me say that your, you know, growth of your church begins, you know, obviously with prayer and commitment to the Lord. But folks, it's got to begin with your website too. Traveling, and my wife and I are always like looking for a place to go to church. It's amazing to me how hard it can be to find the service times on your church's website, you know? And so let me just encourage you folks, there are people looking for a church. So make your service times super easy to find on the website, really. And then, like, if you have a church calendar on your website, don't let there be stuff on there from 2 years ago. I mean, really, like it or not, we're in the digital age, and people very often, they form their opinions, you know, based on, you know, first impressions. And so you want to make sure that your website tells who you are and how people can plug in. And then, like, if people, I love a new member class. And Bert Harper and I, we've written on this, on, you know, ways churches can have a good new member class. In fact, I've got a curriculum right now that's being edited by American Family Association that we're going to publish. But also, let me just say that there's a good orientation you could start for those that join, but just a class for, you know, those that are maybe putting their toe in the water. You know, what we're about, get to know us, and, you know, have, you know, coffee or something like that. But in every service, you know, say, look, if you're a guest, you know, and by the way, maybe, I know this sounds picky, but I don't like to say visitor so much, but guest. We're so honored you're here. If you would like to know more, every Sunday morning, you know, we have a class about who we are and what we're about, and, you know, come. So there's the new members class, but the maybe what if they become members class. You're constantly getting to convey who you are and what your, you know, value and priorities are, and people will come. You know, there's an old saying, Doctor, that everything rises or falls on leadership, and I'm finding a lot of churches, they're not necessarily mega or big churches, maybe they don't have huge budgets. The good news is you don't, to implement organization and excellence, it doesn't take huge amounts of money necessarily. But may I recommend a couple of books that I think might be of help?
Absolutely. Go ahead. We're all ears.
Yeah. There's a book called Sticky Church, and it is a really good book. Sticky Church is a book by a guy named Larry Osborne. And then another book, Developing the Leader Within You by John Maxwell. I've given away so many copies. I can't overstate how helpful those resources will be.
Well, and Alex, where can we find your website to download the resource I've been sharing today?
Just my website, alexmcfarland.com.
You heard it right here, alexmcfarland.com. Now, when we come back, we'll be talking to a fellow nurse about the preborn campaign. You won't want to miss it. Thanks, Alex, for joining us, and we'll see you on the other side of this break.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back. I hope you've been listening in on our 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting. We have so far talked about praying for our kids. We've talked about memorizing scripture to counsel them. And we've talked about getting plugged into a local church. And that's something I'll be talking about more on the show tomorrow on Friday, which is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. I'll be answering questions that I've been getting. And I'll share a little bit more with you about the benefits of getting plugged into a church. Now, for this last segment, we are really, I am personally so excited to introduce our next guest because we have a nurse, another nurse, a fellow nurse. So that is exciting to me. This week, American Family Radio is partnering with Preborn, the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the United States. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and we are asking you to consider giving $28, and that provides one woman a free ultrasound to give the opportunity to choose life. And so you can do that by calling 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, or you can donate online at afr.net. And before I take up too much talking time, I want to go ahead and introduce our guest who will be giving us more detail about that. We've got Roxy Lamorges. She is a registered nurse, as I shared with you. She's a certified emergency nurse, a forensic nurse, a sexual assault nurse examiner, and she is the executive director of Preborn, where she manages a team of 75 passionate pro-life individuals under the president with an extensive and rich background in the healthcare field, project management, leadership, and the pro-life space. She finds joy in mentoring, coaching, and helping ministries grow in operational impact and leadership excellence. Roxy, welcome so much to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We are thrilled to have you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Roxy, I want to know your story. You, like me, are a nurse who is working in a faith-based space here. How did your nursing journey start, and how did it take you to this preborn ministry?
Yeah, my nursing, I went to school, became a nurse. It's more interesting how it kind of based out of the healthcare community. I was actually in the middle of just praying and fasting, seeking the Lord of what He might have me do next in that season of my life. I was practicing at a fairly large ER and enjoyed every moment of it. But I was pretty clear that with much prayer, God said, leave your job. And then radio silence. And I'm like, okay. But it was very clear. So I did take a leap of faith knowing that he was speaking. I had counsel. I sought the Lord. I read His word. And in that moment, I just knew that I was supposed to leave. And I did. And the last shift that I have, I was called into this restaurant where a woman that was sitting actually experienced a miscarriage. And I saw her holding a baby, about 11 week old, the fully formed baby, small in the palm of her hand. And the only thing different between you and me is the skin was translucent. It wasn't a blob of tissue. It wasn't just blood. It was a fully formed, tiny human being in the palm of this mother's hand. And I knew right then and there, I knew that I have touched the brokenness of God's heart. Because I prayed, God, break my heart for the things that break your heart. And He was showing me that abortion breaks His heart. So I left my job and just took a leap of faith. And by a series of God-ordained providential events, ended up in the doors of preborn.
That is so touching, Roxy. And what do you do there? What does preborn do? Tell us about your ministry and your services.
Yeah, so currently I serve as the executive director. I've been here for 8 years. I started as a nurse out in California. What we do is we actually reach a woman in her moment of crisis. When she comes into the clinic, we give her an opportunity to actually not only get medically relevant and accurate information of what abortion is, what it is not, what it does truly to her body. We also provide her with free services, including a free ultrasound scan to help better equip her to make an informed choice about this pregnancy. And more importantly, it gives her an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be ministered to holistically as a person. That's kind of why we're doing what we are doing, because it's important that she has that ultrasound before she makes a decision. Because when she sees her babies and hear that heartbeat for the first time, it actually doubles her chance, opportunity of choosing life. And, you know, it's something that we could all do. Help her out for $28 per scan or $140 for 5 ultrasound scans. Everyone has an opportunity to touch a mom in an unplanned pregnancy. And they could join us right here. Even as they listen to us, they could call #250, keyword baby. They could visit AFR.net or go to preborn.com. But it's quite an amazing opportunity to give her that ultrasound for free.
And it's my understanding that you also provide them with maternity and baby clothes and diapers and car seats and counseling up to 2 years after the baby is born. Is that right?
Yes, there's actually much work that happens, right? It's not just being with her in her moment crisis. That is the pivotal decision point. We want to be there. We want to intercept everything that's happening. We want to provide her with the right decision so she can make that informed choice. And then there's our follow-up system of care where we really want her to feel supported, because there's many stressors and factors that's affecting that decision, and we want to make sure that she feels supported. I think we used the word earlier. It's a holistic approach to her pregnancy crisis. We want to make sure that we become practically the hands and feet of Jesus. And we have another opportunity. There's what we call a day of life that we just want to invite people in. If they're able to help us provide not only ultrasounds, but extended support services to help a mom and a family in an unplanned pregnancy. For those who are able, $5,000 help us support day operations and extended supportive care for many moms across the nation.
Well, Roxy, I want to ask you a question. You and I are both nurses, as I've said now many times. Some of you are saying, okay, enough with the nurse thing, but I'm so proud of my profession. I really am. I want you to think about the nurses out there who might be listening right now, who have maybe experienced difficult times, you know, just since everything that we experienced with COVID and how that disrupted the healthcare system, and how you have found hope. And there may be other nurses who are thinking, I want to do something missional like that. I want to do what Roxy did. Maybe I've been thinking about leaving my job and stepping out in a leap of faith. What encouragement would you give them, nurse or not, wherever you are, if you're that person right now who's thinking, God has laid something on my heart that's just been stirring for a long time, what would you tell them, Roxy?
From personal experience and based on the word of God, we can outserve, outgive our loving Father. He will prove himself worthy of that obedience. And just in case you're looking for an opportunity, if you are a nurse and you want to use your career to serve the Lord, send us an email at preborn.com and we'll make sure to talk through opportunities. If this is especially in the ministry of life, you are much needed. God always gives us tools. And I believe much as you, that what God has given us professionally is the tool for advancement in the kingdom, especially nurses. The entire pro-life, life-affirming movement needs passionate, Christ-loving, biblical-grounded women and men to care for the women and families that are facing unplanned pregnancy. We need more warriors professionally to stand up and use what the Lord has given them professionally. Like the nurse's scope of practice is like the perfect tool to advance the care professionally within the pro-life movement.
Well, I love hearing that. And so I hope, where do they go if they are a nurse thinking or somebody that wants to volunteer? Where do they find you, Roxy?
Preborn.com. They can send us an email at info@preborn.com. And they, if they just share and the subject line, who they're looking for or what they're interested in, they will make sure that it gets to me and our medical team. And we're inviting everybody who's interested to serve the Lord with their gifts and talents.
Well, Roxy, as a nurse and in this ministry space especially, you see a lot of hard things. You see a lot of people who feel no hope, who may feel really desperate, who may feel just ashamed or just, you know, all kinds of things. You often meet people on their worst day as a nurse and in this ministry. Where do you find hope? Where do you find joy to go forward and to continue doing what you're doing every day?
Acts 20:24 tells us that I count my life as dear loss if I am unable to finish the work that Christ has given me, the work of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every day as believers, we get an opportunity and a privilege to be a witness and a light wherever we are. The hope is simply that our hope is eternal, and we have this hope as anchor for everything that happens in our lives, whether in ministry or we're called to the marketplace. That hope never changes. That's the hope that we're inviting people to take part in when we open these doors for women. Yes, we're underwriting. We're asking to underwrite ultrasound machines, but in reality, and all that, the undertone is this: every ultrasound machine, every ultrasound scan, every gift that you give to Preborn as a ministry is the answer to that question. Our number one passion is to open the door so that a woman can not only hear the truth about life, but more importantly, she gets to hear the truth about Christ, about Jesus, the hope that we all believe and profess. That keeps us rooted and grounded in joy. I have the best, I wake up every day knowing that I have the best job ever. I get to make a difference in the kingdom. And that's where joy comes from, knowing that our lives are poured out as a liquid offering to Christ.
Well, I think that is really encouraging and hope-filled in a world that is in desperate need of hope. What would you say to parents who are out there listening, maybe whose daughters are in need of this service, or they know someone in their community or their church who could use services that Preborn provides? How would you suggest that they connect? Because I think, Roxy, what I've heard before is I've heard so many women who say, you know, even a stranger came up and just gave them a card and just gave them a lifeline. What would you say to people who may think, oh, I don't know, that sounds a little scary to reach out and do that? How would you encourage them to connect them?
Well, first and foremost, I'm going to encourage them to reach out to Preborn and we can get them connected practically. You know, we have lifelines and crisis lines all through and through. So that would be an easier route, right? But I know this sounds cliche and maybe so simple, but it really is genuinely true. At the end of everything, we need to know that love overcomes everything. Compassionate love, truth, and mercy hand in hand always, always wins. Preborn as a ministry is banked on that. We speak truth and love, and we execute that care compassionately in the way we care for a woman and see them as a person loved and adored by Christ, needing to be loved into freedom by the choices and the decisions they make. We don't do it out of judgment. We don't do it out of condemnation. We do it out of love because we know that really what she's abortion, it's not good for her, her baby, not her mind, not her well-being. And it's really, it's hard to refute when people know, they genuinely know you love them. Many times inside the clinic, women will always say, I don't know what's here, but something's different. I've sat in front of women where I didn't have to say much, or women that are in crisis just sat in front of me and said, I don't know what you have, but I want that peace. And I'm like, yeah, I could talk to you about this peace and share the truth about Christ. So that would be it. It seems so simple, but it really does work. Love, love, love them to freedom.
Well, thank you so much, Roxy, for sharing those encouraging words and for following the Lord's leading and using your professional skills to make a difference for so many. Once again, your gift of $28 provides one woman a free ultrasound, and $140 provides five of those. You can call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, or you can go online at afr.net. We'll see you tomorrow for a Friday edition of Ask Dr. Nurse Mama, where I'll be answering your questions from the week. You don't want to miss it. I'll see you then. Stay safe and warm.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.